Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The House is expected to vote tomorrow on President Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports congressional Democrats are moving forward with the next round of federal aid without the support of Republicans.
The president's coronavirus relief bill advanced out of the House Budget Committee on Monday and is expected to pass along party lines. It includes $1,400 relief checks for those who qualify, additional aid for state and local governments, and an extension of extra weekly unemployment benefits, which are scheduled to expire on March 14th. The measure also includes a provision that would gradually boost the federal minimum wage to $15 per hour. The wage increase is facing pushback in the Senate from Republicans and some moderate Democrats. Biden's bill will need the support of every Democrat in the chamber to pass with a simple majority. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
A big question surrounding the president's COVID relief bill is whether the hike in the minimum wage will pass muster with the Senate parliamentarian. She's to decide soon if it's allowable under a special Senate rule that would allow a simple majority vote to approve the bill. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. military is stepping up efforts to help protect Americans from the coronavirus.
We're in the business of protecting Americans and saving lives. And they feel really good about what they've been doing.
Secretary Austin speaking to reporters at a vaccination site in Los Angeles, the first one staffed by new active duty military teams that are being developed. The military is now delivering shots at vaccination centers in Texas and New York and will start staffing 4 centers in Florida and 1 in Philadelphia next week as the Pentagon ramps up the deployment of what could be up to 100 vaccination teams around the country. Ahead of legislative hearings in Texas today, 6 board members of ERCOT, the operator of the electric grid in Texas, resigned after the massive power failure during last week's winter storm. Texas Public Radio's Dominic Anthony Walsh reports.
States were set to get 2020 census redistricting data by the end of March, but the pandemic...
According to data presented by ERCOT, almost all Texans would have lost power for weeks had staff members not ordered the shutdown. Former board member Peter Crampton, whose resignation took effect after the meeting, praised the ERCOT staff.
ERCOT was flying a 747. It had not one but 2 engines experience catastrophic failure, then flew the damaged plane for 103 hours before safely landing in the Hudson. In my mind, the men and women in the ERCOT control room are heroes.
He and other board members resigned after criticism that they live outside of Texas. The Public Utility Commission oversees the organization and, unlike ERCOT, has the power to make and enforce power regulations.
You're listening to NPR News. There are reports of an attempted coup in Armenia. Reuters is reporting that Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan is warning of an attempted coup by the military after the army demanded he step down. Pashinyan has been faced with protests and calls to resign over his handling of the fighting between Azerbaijan and ethnic Armenian forces over Nagorno-Karabakh last year. Facebook says it has banned all accounts linked to Myanmar's military following the military's seizure of power earlier this month. Facebook has issued a statement saying it's treating the situation as an emergency, citing deadly violence since the coup on February 1st. The ban also includes Facebook-owned Instagram. Students and doctors planning new protests for today. State lawmakers around the country raising concerns about how delays with the 2020 census results could complicate the redrawing of voting districts. NPR's Hansi Lo Wong reports the Census Bureau says it needs more time to run quality checks.
States were set to get 2020 census redistricting data by the end of March, but the pandemic and last-minute changes under the Trump administration forced the Bureau to redo its schedule for sorting through duplicate and incomplete responses. During a hearing before Pennsylvania state lawmakers, James Whitehorn, the head of the Bureau's redistricting office, explained the need for a 6-month delay.
Everyone who is in charge of those areas felt confident that they could achieve the time frame that they were given as each piece of that chain. So we're very confident that we can meet that September 30 deadline.
Some states are pushing back redistricting deadlines by amending their constitutions or getting court orders. Hansi Lo Wong, NPR News.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.